Sync up. 3, 2, 1. Tony, you want to do a real sync up? Because you were just laughing. Calm down.
Tony.
Pacemaker, stop.
Oh, my God.
Stop. Stop.
Oh, God.
Stop.
Don't censor me.
Okay. 3, 2, 1.
Good morning. This is the TryGames.net podcast, episode 63.
It's party.
It's party?
It's a shoddy party.
It's a shoddy party that you take a shoddy shit in. That's very good there, Tony.
Yo, I suck today.
What happened?
Nothing happened. Just
go on. Your face sucks?
Oh, boo.
Balls?
Boo.
Your balls. Boo.
Boo.
Boo. Boo. Al, kick us off. That was a very good kickoff, Al.
Sorry.
It says just a boop.
Oh, I thought you meant, like, kick you off the thing.
No, kick us off. Or if
yo,
I,
this is... Yo. Buck. This is the TryGames.net podcast. Number what?
I rip and I rhyme. I rhyme and I rip.
I don't remember.
This is the way that Dylon spit.
This is the way that Dylon spit.
who the top five rappers around? Dylon. Welcome Dylon. To episode 63 Dylon of the TryGames.net podcast. We don't have a topic because Ethan's not here.
Yeah, again.
Oh, there he is, and we'll invite him to the freaking conference because he's a moron. But while we're inviting him, what have you been playing, Al?
Guitar Hero.
Guitar Hero.
Pokemon.
Pokemans.
I haven't really been able to play because I was working. If anybody checks my GameSpot blog, I just finished doing
the overtime,
the 56 hours, and I'm done, so I get to actually do stuff now.
Like play games.
Yeah.
And not work.
Play games. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Face. Tony, then. I'm sure he's been playing something.
Like Pokemon and Guitar Hero.
Or not.
Ethan,
shut up.
Ethan's been playing with his dick. I don't even know what he's been playing.
Play with you. No, I mean, what have you played? I mean, was a Freudian slip.
Me, I finally beat Final Fantasy XII.
And remember how I told you last week?
Yeah. Remember how I told you last week that I didn't know how far I was in a game, like,
yeah.
You know, how close to the ending I was.
You were probably, like, right there.
I was right there.
Yeah. Oh, wow, nice.
I was totally right there. And, I gotta say, I'm a bit disappointed at how anticlimactic the last
battle ending
was.
I see.
No,
okay.
No, not the ending.
Just the battle.
Just the battle. Yeah, the last battle.
Right.
It wasn't, Sephiroth worthy. Just
put it like Silver!
Well, that was very, very poor, too.
Now, spoiler alert, I hope you're not talking about the very last battle part with Sephiroth where you just press a button and you're done.
No.
The one before that.
Before that, he takes on two forms, you know, and kicks your ass. And then he does, like, this ultimate magic, which was, like, Comet or some shit.
Yeah, fair enough.
Just, like, cinematic, and it blows everything to fucking pieces.
Omni Slash!
You're nearly dead, and Austin, shut the fuck up!
Tony, shut up!
Shut up. But anyway, it wasn't that epic. You know what I'm saying? And I got to tell you truthfully, there's a lot of things in this game that I did not use. For instance, I did not use any of the limits that you could buy on the licenses or the creatures that you could get, like the espers. The only esper I actually acquired was Belius, only because you needed him to get into one of the temples.
Now,
that's it.
Do you think that's a problem of the game being too easy, or do you think it's that the game offers so many options that you didn't need to use them?
Yeah, that's the latter.
The latter. So it wasn't a bad thing.
No, it wasn't a bad thing. I'm sure that had I utilized them, it would have made the game very interesting. The reason why I didn't really use them is because they take all your magic. So it gets in a way of people healing you, you know, curing you of, you know, status ailments and stuff like that.
Right.
You know, so that's the only reason why I never acquired these things. Not because they're bad or because they interfere with the game. I'm pretty sure those things would have made the game easier.
Right.
But, you know, as it was, I never used them. So I'm going to start over.
And oh, and use them, and oh,
yeah,
that's cool.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
So I suspect then from like your talk of this game in the past couple of months and right now, thumbs up.
Very much thumbs up.
Good.
Yes. Although I say the ending is anticlimactic, it's
right.
in no
it's
way
thumbs
bad.
Up. Right.
Yeah, it is still not a.
It could have been better, basically.
Definitely, it could have been way more epic than Sephiroth. As a matter of fact, I was expecting to battle someone different. Just
I
put
see.
It that
oh.
way.
Okay.
Okay, I don't want to spoil any.
Spoilers!
Anymore, you know.
No spoilers!
But, I was expecting spoilers! Something different, and when I finally beat what I thought was not the last enemy, it was the last enemy.
Right, and you're like,
and
oh.
I was like, what the fuck?
It merged!
My tits hurt. Al, tell
what?
Austin to stare at some tits for 10
Ethan
minutes.
Ethan is mumbling something.
That was
say?
Ethan? I thought that was background music.
That's what I thought.
Maybe
like,
that is background music.
Ethan, listen. Al said that the equivalent of exercise is staring at your girl's tits for 10 minutes.
Can I explain it, please?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, don't let Tony explain it.
That's
yeah.
right.
Ethan, according yes, to sir. A survey that I was informed of, was read on Friday at work, if you stare at a girl's tits for 10 minutes straight, it's equivalent to 30 minutes of aerobics exercise because of the way your heart rate changes.
I heard that somewhere.
So listen, if you want that washboard stomach, just stare at your girl's tits for so 10 minutes a day.
I dispute that claim
right off.
And can prove it given my large belly.
Your portly stature.
I look at girls' tits for way more than half hour at a time. It does me no good.
Oh. I got right. powerful biceps, though.
And oh, Ethan has finally decided to spill his urine on the studio floor. And while Al goes and cleans up his cats.
Fucking cats.
Ethan, what have you been playing? You
nothing.
Jackass.
Absolutely nothing.
Work.
You contribute nothing?
No Bioshock?
No Bioshock.
Did you purchase Bioshock?
Command & Conquer 3 in the shrink wrap.
Oh, you finally bought it.
I ordered World in Conflict. I won't open it. so I've got games. I haven't opened them.
That's like.
But I plan to. I really do.
What about Bioshock? Did you buy that?
I should. I will pick up Bioshock 2. I don't know right. what to do. Once I have like 3 or 4 games still in shrink rack, I kind of start to freak out.
Well, you should be freaking out normally since you don't play any games, period.
I agree. There's just been no. No room. I apologize. It's crazy. But I really hope to start playing soon. I really do.
Sweet.
Not even Operation.
Operation.
You're
the doctor collecting like a dick.
Not even chess. I haven't even played chess.
You're online,
really?
Baby.
Wow.
Yeah.
Instead of even downloading porn.
I've been doing a lot of porn downloads.
But no chess.
Yeah.
So midget that bishop porn. And that queen, huh? Getting a little heady there. Where'd Al go? Al, are you back? He's still cleaning up the water. Mare! Keep talking.
Cats suck, man.
Keep talking.
I don't know. He's gone. Al. Stop
Al's probably up. Actually playing games.
Ah, yes. This is true. Something that you should go
either
off
that or
do
he's staring
well.
At his girl's tits for 10 minutes.
Oh, maybe he needs some exercise.
Yeah, this is true. Al.
Tony, is that...
there he
have
is.
You talked about that with your doctor?
What?
Have you talked about that with your doctor?
That's why I got the pacemaker. I was staring at tits too long.
Al's back.
Yeah.
Do you want to know what Ethan's been playing?
Me?
Yeah.
I've been playing...
No, Ethan. Ethan, what he's been
didn't
playing.
Didn't I say me, and you said yeah.
No, I said, do you want to know what Ethan's been playing? And you said, me, as in, do I want to know? And I said, yes.
Oh, I thought you said...
He's been playing nothing. Let's move on. Like,
yeah.
Austin,
yeah, sure.
What have you been playing?
Prince of Persia and Prince of Persia 2, actually. Ah, sorry. Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time, and Prince of Persia, The Warrior Within. I forgot they ended the numbers. Sands of Time, I finished on Tuesday, and it felt very good to finally finish another game. For once.
Right.
It's about 9 hours, 10 hours. Excellent game with shoddy combat, and I will fight that to the death.
Right.
And Prince of Persia 2. Ah! Prince of Persia Warrior Within, because 2 is something different.
Right.
Same gameplay, which is excellent. Fucking devious level designs. right from the start, because Prince of Persia starts you off easy, and this one just throws you right into some crazy shit.
Right.
Much better combat and a really, really horrible Batitude angle. and by that, I mean, like, he's all extreme, and there's heavy metal Persian music playing in the background, and he says, "You bitch," a lot. And he taunts
no,
the
wait,
enemy.
Wait, he actually does say, "You bitch"?
Yeah.
Oh,
the first battle, the first battle when he faces off against this lady who's wearing like a metal bikini that really didn't exist back in those times, I bet. That's basically showing almost off almost everything. Like, he fights her and he goes, "You bitch! Is that the best you can offer?" And starts really, really stupid taunts. And it's like, you know, Ubisoft did that because they wanted to, because Prince of Persia 1 didn't sell that well, and they wanted to draw in a bigger crowd. They're like, let's make it Shark extreme value. And dark and like.
And rad.
And when you die, like, the screen splatters blood and goes, "Game over!" And, like, oh, there's blood everywhere. And I'm just like,
oh my God.
I'm just like, just stop it. Like, this is a horrible direction. It's actually bad enough to detract from the actual experience. And that usually that's usually something that doesn't bother me, but it's really bad.
The one thing that I could give that game is trying to escape the Darka.
Yeah, yeah.
That is very intense.
Right. I mean, the gameplay itself is excellent. It's even better than the first one, but it's just the Batitude is so horrible that it kind of evens everything out. And, you know, in the first one, it's all like storybook, and the prince is not necessarily a really nice guy, but he's a good person, and he's like, he's kind of humble, but a little bit cocky, but not like an asshole. Not like a dark prince jerk.
Not like Austin at all. Oh! Got quiet.
Wow, that was so bad.
Come on, man. Dude. Give me props.
Terrible. No, that was shit. You could think people have thought of much better already on this podcast. So, anyway, moving on from Tony's bullshit. Like, the first one, you know, when you die in the first one, he's like, it's like he's telling you a story.
Yes, that didn't really happen.
Yeah, he's like, no, that wasn't right. And this one's just like, game over! And, and it's like, okay.
Check some Mountain Dew.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, okay, Spike TV, you can have your game back. So, I don't know, it's really
extreme game over.
Extreme. Let's move on. We're at the news section, and it is with a kind of heavy heart that I started with an obituary section, as it were. On the 17th, Colin McRae died in a helicopter crash along with his children. Or is it just that one son? Yeah,
I think it's just his one son, but there was another kid on board.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so all this news is being godded from Game Life, from the Wired News Network, because I was a bit too lazy during the week and I forgot to collect news. So it's all coming from Game Life. So it's all going to be Susan Arendt and Chris Kohler and everybody. So Colin McRae died in a helicopter crash on Saturday. McRae was piloting the helicopter when it crashed, killing all four people on board, including McRae's 5-year-old son. McRae is known to the world of gaming through his popular series of racing games, including Dirt, which was just released for the PS3, and it also came out for PC and Xbox 360. Codemasters, who developed Dirt, said in a statement, "Everyone at Codemasters, especially those who work directly with Colin McRae, is deeply shocked and saddened by the tragic events of this weekend. The loss of Colin McRae is deeply distressing. That it involved his son and another so young makes it even more tragic. Our thoughts are with his family and those closest to him, and we share in their pain. For over 10 years, Colin was part of the Codemasters family, and it was a privilege to have a man recognized as a true legend on the team. He always took a keen interest in the game experience, wanting to make sure it was without equal in its portrayal of the sport. His contribution was inspirational and brought his technical expertise and passion for rally driving to each and every McRae game. Through the popularity of those games, he brought a whole new audience to the sport itself." So, very sad. What comes next is also sad, but also makes you just wonder what the hell is wrong with some people. man, again, from Susan Arendt, man dies after 3-day gaming marathon.
That's just insane.
Yeah, a man died in a cyber cafe in southern China after a 3-day gaming binge.
Why does this only happen in Asia?
I don't know.
Because places in America close.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, but you can do it at home for 3 days.
But no one wants to do that at home.
What?
I think people do. My point is, like, I'm wondering if the press is lying.
Right, right. And I'm actually going to get to that, Ethan. I'm actually going to get to that. The 30-year-old fainted in a cafe located in Guangzhou, but the paramedics were unable to revive him. The working theory is that he died from exhaustion brought on by his marathon gaming session. China is waging an ongoing battle with online gaming addiction, enforcing game time limits, and even sending young kids to special boot camps.
Communism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for the record, we've seen, I believe it's two men from China and one man from South Korea.
Oh, you can't forget about the you're just talking about internet cafe stuff, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Okay, because then there was the couple that neglected their child from playing.
Oh, that's right. And where was that?
That was at home. That was in China, but at home.
Jesus Christ.
Where was the one where the guy killed the other guy because he stole his online character?
That was Japan, I believe. I don't know. So, going on your comment, Ethan, there's a funny comment posted on this blog post from some user. It says, these stories come out of China so often that one wonders if Reuters is being conned by the Beijing news into promoting anti-communications propaganda. My expectation is that this story is not literally true, and if there was a death at a cafe unrelated to using the computer, it is being recast as being computer-related to keep the people, Chinese people, in line.
Leave Taiwan alone.
So that's a little bit conspiracy theory, but that right. sounds plausible. I mean, if you think about it, you never know. They might be doing this type of shit. I mean, I wouldn't put it past them. Ethan, you already said that, like, you believe that's what the case is.
Yeah, I kind of don't believe that this only happens in one country.
Yeah, I agree.
And often.
And this often, yeah. But, I mean, like, I don't doubt that. I'm sure that people die like this, but I also don't doubt the possibility of sometimes using stories that aren't necessarily that related to, you know, kind of keep them in line, like this.
Right.
So, but if it is true, you know, sucks. Sad for the guy, but watch your freaking clock. That's all I could say. I mean, there's no excuse for that.
Well, not only that, I mean, you can die from exhaustion, but you typically don't die from exhaustion in 3 days. It takes a lot longer than that.
Right.
And, I mean, the only thing I can think of is that he was dehydrated.
Yeah.
If you're going to go play games for 3 days straight, fine, just fucking drink water.
Or he got intestinal blockage and didn't go to the bathroom.
Well, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
But even after 3 days, most of the time, like, if you're not eating healthy, that's when you're going to want to go to the bathroom anyway.
Right. Exactly. Like, you can, like, if you're in the army, there
Ethan knows all about the bathroom.
I do. I know that. You can survive for weeks without taking a dump. I've done it.
Oh,
I have not. Damn, you can't survive an hour without it, dude. Man.
I can survive. I'm not pleased.
Should we move on? I think someone was trying to say something. I think or no?
Fuck China.
Okay. Nintendo president promises plenty of Wii's for Christmas. Oh, it's Susan Rendon again. She's on a hat trick.
Jesus.
On the Dean and Nooch podcast, Nintendo president Reggie Fils-Aimé promised that there will be plenty of Wii's in the stores this holiday. Not that he thinks it's really going to make it any easier for you. The amount of Wii hardware that will be in North American stores will be unprecedented. Substantially more than the launch. Substantially more than we have seen to date. The bad news is that the given level of demand, and given the fact that the more we put in, the more we sell, it is still going to be difficult to get your hands on the Wii. Marketing spin. Reggie suggests you regularly check your Toys R Us, Best Buy, Circuit City, Walmart, Target, or GameStop.
Stop.
To see if they've gotten a shipment and, quote, try and get there when the product comes in. End quote. In other words,
that's a good one.
What you've already been doing. Hopefully the increased numbers of Wiis coming out will increase the odds of snagging one, but plan appropriately. I would say that this is probably the reason why there's a so-called shortage right now, is that they're stockpiling for Christmas. And who can blame them?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, especially if you want to be ready for the holiday season. So.
Absolutely, sure.
But still, make more! There are two GameCubes to put together. It's troll, troll, troll. All right, Susan, we're done with you, or are we? No, now we're back to Chris Kohler. Turbo CD Games hit Virtual Console in October. I think last week we got the news that Turbo CD Games would be coming to the Virtual Console. Now we have a date. Mm-hmm. Well, not a date, just a month. There seems to be a difference in pricing. Last week I thought it was going to be last week was Neo Geo Games that we broke.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not that we broke, but that was broken. For 900 points per. Now it's Turbo CD Games for 800 points per. Hudson has announced that TurboGrafx CD Games, including Super CD Games, will be available on Virtual Console starting in October in Japan. Nowhere in the U.S., that's a thing. The titles, none of which have been announced specifically, will cost 800 Wii points, which is $8. Five games are expected this year, with 10 or more in 2008. An eventual U.S. rollout of the Turbo CD platform has been promised, but no date has been set as of yet. More importantly, nor has anyone said exactly how we're going to store CD-ROM games on the Wii's half a gig of flash storage. Thanks, Nintendo!
You know, the bane of your existence, right there.
Quite frankly, most of the CD game is music.
Yes.
Or video.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, but...
especially in Sherlock Holmes' case.
Then they gotta start compressing that shit on,
they
like, the freaking highest level possible.
They'll probably make it, like, MP3s. And then it'll be, like, not much space.
I bet they better do that, because 512 megs of shit, crap, balls. Let's see.
They should make, like, a flash card for one of the USB ports in the back of the Wii.
Yeah, instead of... because the stupid SD card, you can't read stuff off of it,
exactly,
like, directly.
Yeah.
You have to, like, move the games over and play them, so...
yeah, they really designed that poorly. It's, you gotta
piggyback. Who killed the fly?
That was probably Al slapping on cats.
Yeah, my cats are freaking insane today. He's biting on the radiator.
Don't hit them that hard.
He's biting fade. Next one,
the cat's tits.
Wait, next one up, which is surely to get your heart rate rising, as Al has been talking about.
Tits.
Another one from Susan. Mass Effect contains girl-on-girl sex scene.
Woohoo!
A posting on the BBFC's website reveals that Mass Effect contains one, quote, moderate sex scene, end quote, which, if you make the right choices, could be between two females.
It could be between two.
Here's the
here's
the quote.
Between two females and a dog.
The single sex scene is brief and undetailed, although there is a breast nudity in one version of the scene. The scene is triggered by the player making a series of choices about becoming more than friends with a colleague. If playing as a male character, the scene can take place between him and a human woman or a humanoid female alien. If playing as a female character, the scene can take place between her and a male human or a female humanoid alien.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is part of Wii's health pack.
Yeah.
This isn't a Wii game.
My dick's
you just stare at it for 30 minutes and you get good cardiovascular exercise.
Yeah, BioWare, Microsoft, and Nintendo working together to put out more healthy stuff. Yeah,
see, I love digital nipples.
Now, in spite of this survey, Dipples. Nintendo should come out with a new product called Wii Tit.
More from Susan Arenda. She's on a roll. Halo 3 copies sold early.
Yep.
Now the headline of this is more, except I don't think we reported on it last week. Besides the eBay thing, some Norwegian retailer rumored to have released Halo 3 early, and some dude took a picture of it on his screen with the box, looking all happy and shit. Actually, he didn't really look happy. He just looked stoned. And, you know, word was that, like, okay, maybe this was just a retail store employee taking a picture in the store. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now this story says, Argos in the UK. Apparently some stores in the Argos site told folks who had reserved copies that they would be able to pick up their copy of the game on Wednesday the 19th of September or Thursday the 20th of September, which is an early release. A few observant reservation holders figured they'd give it a shot and walked away with their copies of Halo 3 nearly a week early. Argos has since been tipped off to their error and is holding the rest of their copies until next week. Meanwhile, quote, in hand, end quote, copies of Halo 3 have been selling for as much as $179 on eBay.
Bullshit.
Sorry, just but I just couldn't pay that much in impatience tax, no matter how badly I wanted to play a game. Inspired by this very post, BuzzDash has posted a quickie poll asking folks if it's worth $180 a game. Any game a week early. The results so far? I'll go for no matter what game that is or whatever system that is.
They're actually predicting this is going to make more money than Spider-Man 2 did on its opening weekend.
The movie?
Which is like $131 million. They're predicting that it's going to sell more than Harry Potter did the last book on its, you know, when they released it. So that's pretty bold.
Yeah, if this was a PS2 or Wii game, I'd say definitely. The fact that it's on the 360, it's only because the I don't even know if it's coming out in Japan, so maybe that's not a fair statement. But, like, given the audience over in Japan, and I think, like, middle Europe, I mean, it's doing okay. I've heard on other podcasts that the 360 is doing very well in the UK and in Australia and stuff. But in mid-Europe, like, you know, in Italy and in France, not so much. So you got a little bit of a fragmented audience where I think that, like, something like Spider-Man 2 would probably be a... Or is he saying only in the U.S.?
I think that was generally just U.S. sales.
Okay, okay, then.
And
I should...
that was released from Microsoft directly. They're expecting that much business
to be the
from
U.S.
this
sales.
Game.
Oh, yeah, let's see.
I don't know.
Halo 2 did very well. Halo 2 did very well, and that was a game that came out on a system which was still lagging behind the PS2 and which was still on par with the GameCube. We've got the Xbox 360 now, which I think is doing, you know, I don't want to pull definitive numbers, but I get the impression that it's doing better than the Xbox was at this point. And,
right.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't doubt that it could potentially do that well, but I also think that there's a lot of hyperbole in that.
What was the time frame where they'd sell those that many games?
Yeah, did he say
one
did
day?
He, did he one day?
One day. Yeah, right, actually, so... topped a record $151 million dollars that the movie Spider-Man 3 earned at the box office on its opening weekend in just the first day. That's how much they're saying they're going to make in a day.
So look at it this way: an average movie ticket's $10, right? The average video game price is around.
Well, Halo's going to be $60. It's wait. Halo's going to be $60, and the what's it called? The legendary pack with a freaking helet is like $120.
Yeah, $129.99.
Okay,
that's
so
crazy.
In terms of revenue, you need, you know, it's a 6-to-1 ratio.
Right, and that'll be
and
easier.
Yeah, that's believable.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, do they have the audience in the U.S. with their Xboxes that are it's going to generate this numbers?
Well, what's the second highest revenue opening weekend game in
well,
existence?
Well, they're comparing it to Spider-Man 3 and Harry Potter.
Yeah, but they're comparing it to a movie and a book. I want to know what video game.
Yeah, apples and dicks.
Exactly.
Well quoted. I'm glad to see somebody paid attention to me. No, I really. What was the last game, Austin?
I'm looking up the Halo numbers right now. For their launch day. It was a lot. I think it sold like 2-3 million copies like in the first week. Or something like that.
2 or 3 million copies?
I think.
In the first week. And that was back when games were weren't Xbox games sold 49?
Yeah.
Yeah, so right there that's $100 million.
Yeah. Huh. I think. I could be wrong. I'm trying to get this stupid Wikipedia entry and it's not loading.
And what I was wondering is
load, bitch, get out the way, get out the way, get out the way, load, bitch, get out the way. Okay.
Shut up.
Shut up.
Shut up. Your face is shut up.
Your face shut up.
No, you can't.
Echo. Susan.
What were you going to say, Al?
I was going to say that.
Shut up.
They probably think that they're going to make that much because they've already sold that much to retailers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're hoping that they can sell through all of that amount because everybody's going crazy about buy Halo 3 here. Buy Halo 3 here. Pre-order.
Sure. Right,
you will get it at 7-Eleven.
Yeah, they're selling at fucking 7-Elevens.
You'll get it at the Sabret hot dog stand on 34th and 9th.
You know, it's going to be a long-ass line going down 34th Street, and it's not for GameStop or EB or any of those other game stores in Manhattan Mall. It's going to be on the Sabret Frank stand.
That's right. That poor guy is going to
Here we go.
Cool.
The first official, except this is in more than the United States, so that's kind of questionable. The first official release of Halo 2 was in Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States on November 9th of 2004. Anticipation game for the game was high. 3 weeks before its release, a record 1.5 million copies had already been pre-ordered. Massive lines formed at midnight releases of the game. The event garnered significant media attention. This was followed by releases on November 10th in France and other European countries, and November 11th in the UK. The game sold 2.4 million copies and earned up to $125 million in its first 24 hours on store shelves.
Wow.
Thus outgrossing the film Pirates of the Caribbean: Dead Man's Chest as the highest grossing release in entertainment history.
Wait, but that, is that U.S. or is
that's,
that the
and
countries
that
you
that's
mentioned?
The thing. That's what I want to know is if
those are the countries that they opened it. And another thing that maybe they're basing this on is the pre-orders. Maybe they have enough pre-orders to
well, that's what Al was saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They freaking like Amazon reported like a million pre-orders of Halo 3 like 27,000 years ago or something insane like that.
Well, I think this has meat to it then.
No, this definitely has merit.
It might happen.
Yeah. But in addition to Halo selling early, the code has been leaked online.
Awesome.
Once the early copies were out, it wasn't a matter of... And this is, again, students... It wasn't a matter of if, but when Halo 3 BitTorrents would start showing up online about a day after the UK retailer Argos inadvertently, or not, broke Halo 3's street date. A 6.14 gigabyte file was uploaded to various file sharing sites and, unsurprisingly, is being downloaded like crazy. If you've got a modded Xbox and don't mind that empty feeling you get from being a damn dirty pirate, feel free to track it down. Or you can be an adult and wait 4 days for the legit version. Up to you. Or you could really just want to see some titties and know that that 6.14 gigabyte file really is a bunch of porn. Remember what happened with Doom 3?
Yeah.
The alpha leak? It was just...
It was just a bunch of porn. Big old box of porn.
And people download it. They're like, this isn't Doom 3, but it's okay because I like what I'm seeing.
Yeah, nobody's angry.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, okay, sure, why not?
It's like, I didn't get to play Doom 3, but goddamn, my dick hurts.
Yeah, it's Doom 3.
Or, this is the most enterprising Doom I've ever seen.
Yeah. I wasn't scared at all.
TGS 2007, here's something that I'm very happy about, and I'm glad that I didn't buy a 6-axis yet. Sony announces DualShock 3 controller with frickin' rumble.
Yay!
Thank God. Enough said.
Well, they have to reprogram their games, right? To accommodate for this.
Yeah, but whatever. That's not for us to worry about.
Actually, maybe not. Depends.
They have to.
They may
no,
have
they,
built
they,
it in.
No, they have to issue a firmware update for any of the older games. For any newer game that's been developed by a developer who knew that the DualShock 3 is coming, it's already in there. It's already in. It's already in Ratchet and Clank.
Okay.
I don't know if it's in Assassin's Creed. Maybe, maybe not. It's going to be in Gran Turismo 5. It's going to be in a whole bunch of stuff. And in fact, I think there's a... Oh, there was a list of games here somewhere also, but not here. It's in Metal Gear Solid 4. It's going to be on Burnout Paradise.
Excellent.
And I'm sure it's going to be in Mercenaries, too. I'm just throwing that out there.
Oh, yeah.
Say that again.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Ken Kinnett from Connecticut.
Yeah. Oh, that hurts.
Box of porn.
But now, I'm glad to have, you know, the rumble back, and I'm also glad that I got my PS3 for $350 and have my hardware backwards compatibility. So things are coming into place. Like I said, 2008 is when it's going to come together. Not this year. Oh, by the way, release dates for the DualShock 3. It comes out in Japan soon, but for the other territories like the US, it's not till spring of 08. I don't know what the delay is for.
I don't either, but it's November 2007 in Japan.
Yep.
And
spring.
Whenever. For us.
Yeah.
Whenever, because we don't need it. We weren't the ones complaining about it anyway.
Right. And next, another release stateside is Ubisoft's No More Heroes, coming from Goichi Suda, a.k.a. Suda51, a.k.a. the person who made the ultra-stylistic and really fun to watch, but not really fun to play, Killer 7. Looks like Killer 7, but plays really differently. Someone said the combat reminded him of Zelda on one of the podcasts, and it's kind of free roaming, sort of, not really, but you know, it's an actual game, not like a press up to move forward and back to move back and now play a shooting range game. It's an actual like full fledged like you control your character like hands on. So it's going to be different than Killer 7. Let's see. Ubisoft is bringing the title to the North American market because we believe there's a viable market for mature games on the Wii platform, an audience that has been underserved up to now.
Underserved.
That has been underserved up to now, which is incredibly true.
Yes.
So I'll be freaking buying that.
And it says we couldn't agree more, Tony.
Yeah, Tony! Tony! They said they made some claims that it would be more violent than Manhunt 2, which I highly doubt, but I like to see people spit out hyperbole like that. It gives me... next one. This is pretty funny. BioShock developer defends Lair's controls.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ.
But he doesn't so much defend the controls as he does, like, the team. And let me read this. Okay. Another Susan Arendt piece. Factor 5 has been taking a bit of a beating recently for Lair's uncooperative motion-sensitive controls. But BioShock's big daddy Ken Levine, who thinks he knows what objectivism is, thinks we should give the guys a break already. During a Gamers with Jobs podcast, Levine said that it was likely that Sony essentially forced Factor 5 to go with motion controls, whether they really wanted to or not. And here's what he says. Let me speak in these guys' defense for a minute as a game developer. I'm sure somebody came to them at some point and said, we have this motion controller, and we have to make a go of it, and we really think you should try to make your game exclusively on that. Which is not to say that Levine doesn't think Lair's controls aren't, shall we say, problematic. In his opinion, nothing but Wii Sports has pulled off motion controls in a satisfactory way. Aren't there a lot of games where you're just like, dude, can I just use a D-pad or the analog stick, he says. So, yeah, he's basically say, and I'm sure that I'm sure it's not necessarily Factor 5's fault.
Yeah, it, no, it's a good theory. It's a good theory.
You know? I mean, I'm sure people come in and do that all the time. And as we know from like Rogue Leader and all those games that Factor 5 has made in the past, they know how to program games.
Right.
Lair was just a fucking mess up and a disaster. And maybe some of it was Sony's fault by coming in and saying, do this. Or, and we don't know. We don't know. Yeah. Maybe they themselves said, hey, let's push this for Sony, and we think we did a good job. And they did.
Right. So. Well, listen, for 80% of the time, you know, for effectiveness.
80%.
80%. You know, it's just like Wii Tennis when you want to do a backhand. Shut the fuck up. God. That's so stupid.
Next up, and this is from, thank you from Tony, from Forbes.com. David,
thank you.
David Copland says, Sony reworks PS3 strategy, delays launch of virtual community, that being home, and closes Image Station photo service. I remember that they closed their Sony Connect music service, and now they're closing their photo service, and I guess dedicating resources to this. But here's the article. Sony has promised to tap additional video game producers for PS3 in hopes of creating greater demand for the video game console, which they call video console. Thanks, Forbes. You really know the industry. Attempting to turn back the disappointment that continues to plague it, the WSJ reports, Wall Street Journal. Speaking at the Tokyo Game Show Industry Conference, Kazuo Hirai, the head of Sony's video game division, also said the company was holding on its release of the full version of PS3's virtual environment called PlayStation Home until sometimes in 2008. But I heard elsewhere that the beta is still on track, so okay. Although Sony has been prepping the virtual world for the past year, Hirai indicated the feature did not yet meet his standards. While some attendees seemed pleased with the tacit recognition that Sony needs to carve out a new strategy, there was disappointment at the issue of the PS3's $600 price tag, which has been cited for the disappointing sales, 2.9 million in both the US and Japan, versus Nintendo, 7.4 million sales in both countries, and Microsoft, 6.7 sales in both countries, which is really funny when you think about the 6.7 million sales of the 360 in the 90% of that's in the US.
Mm-hmm.
And like two units are in the Japanese market, so
yeah, two lucky people.
Two lucky houses. People 360. Dude, if I lived in Japan, I would so be like rolling in the dough because they probably sell those things for really cheap. And I just like freaking
import them.
Yeah.
I got
You'd
a question.
Be a smuggler.
Is Kazuo Hirai just Kaz Hirai in drag or like in makeup? I don't know.
What? Are you smoking something?
Move on.
Kazuo is his full Japanese name. Kazuo Hirai. Oh. Kaz is a nickname.
Ah.
It's like calling Alfred Al or
Tony
like
Tone
or Ethan.
Don't
Joe
ever call me
something.
Tone.
What's up, Toe?
Or toe.
What's up, Toe?
Don't call me Toe.
Suck a toe. Fuck with a toe. GameStop may stock AO-rated games in the future.
Wait. Where's this?
Where is this?
In
you didn't send it to us.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. In an interview with Gamasutra, GameStop Senior Merchandising VP Bob McKenzie said that the company's merger with EB Games opens the door to stocking AO-rated games in the future. GameStop didn't carry AO titles, but EB did. What?
Really?
I don't remember that.
No. It must have been in that dark corner with the curtain that said adults only. Oh, did it say employees only? Or did it say restroom?
what would that have meant for Manhunt 2 if it kept its original rating? Tough to say, but McKenzie's glad the question is moot, saying, in this situation, I'm glad they went back, reworked it, and will be M-rated. I can't say that we would have supported it at AO, and I can't say that we won't. So he basically is saying it's uncertain that they, you know. Even if GameStop had stepped up and voiced support for Manhunt 2 and it was still rated AO, it's still one retailer amongst many. The game would more than likely have ended up edited just the same. Also forgetting about the fact that Nintendo and Sony don't want those AO games on their systems in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Right. So they're going to be stocking
boobs
and 30-minute exercise and 10 minutes a day.
Stare at them tits.
Look at them
Ethan,
tatas.
Shut up.
Shut all up. It is, all it is a big gif of like tits. And it's like, look, look.
Look, and look,
then,
look.
And after 10 minutes,
look. Press A button. Look, look. Waggle Wiimote. Look, look.
And then 10 minutes later, it's like game over with a blood splatter.
Game over! You bitch.
Jesus Christ. You bitch.
Is that the best you can offer?
God. Oh my God.
You really
got
it. Tony, you play that, right? You have War Within 2, right?
Yeah.
You guys gotta see how you gotta compare the first and the second games, like Prince of Persia.
Actually, I never played the first one, but from the second game, I don't want to play the first one.
No, you should,
because I really didn't like. those are really lopsided tits. I don't know where they built tits and where you come from, but that's not.
It's one thing for like one to hang lower than the other, but you have one that's wider than the other. And I don't know what that is. Maybe it's two tits with a scar in it.
I wish we could show them a visual of this on the podcast. But since podcasts are audio, there's no possible way to do it.
Austin is Dr. 90210 with these.
Yes.
It's like Dr. 902.
Check that out.
Yeah, no, he's like Dr. 11218, like, you know, the Brooklyn
Dr. 12345.
Yeah. Oh boy, shift the nipple.
I'll make your tits big and ugly.
I will misplace your nipple, bitch.
Quasimodotits.com.
Quasimodotits.
Oh my god.
Well, those are good.
They're winking.
All right, I gotta somehow find nipples. A way to show this. I don't know how I'm gonna do it.
There's some erect nipples right there. Let me tell you.
You can take a screenshot.
Oh man! See, no, it's true. I am feeling very aerobic right now. Look at this. Look at this. My heart is going very fast right now.
Wait, should we do more? Or should we be concerned about Tony's health and stop?
Yeah, let's. Well,
let's move on. Let's move on.
F1. Okay.
F1. But that looks like nothing. That's a problem.
No. It's cosmetic surgery.
Yeah, but it doesn't look like anything anymore.
F1s. It looks like you pressed F1 and it didn't work, and it was like, this is what you pressed, F1.
I just think it would be cool if you pull the girl's shirt off, you take the bra off, and all you see is F1 right on the middle of her tits.
F1. Unattractive. That would not get any aerobic exercise. Alright, let's move on. We are at the bag of shit. Ethan, what's your bag of shit game?
Oh, man.
Because you don't play bad games. Actually, you love bad games. What the fuck?
Yeah, all you do is play bad games to help save the time you wasted by playing good games.
I've talked about all the bad games that I've played. Well, almost.
That's fucked up. That's fucked up.
How old are we? I don't understand.
We're still, for anybody who's wondering, we're still drawing breastuses in the Skype chat window, and we can't stop.
You know, it's better. Did you guys see Superbad?
Not yet.
Oh, I did. It was awesome.
It's better than that.
It is. Superbad's good. You should totally see it.
I know.
That is one small bald dick, let me tell you.
All right. Tony, what's your bag of shit game?
Move on, I can't talk right now.
Al, what's your bag of shit game?
I don't know.
You guys are sluts. You fucking idiots.
I have Why don't you start first for a change?
You're supposed to think of these things, even though I didn't tell you that we were going to do it this week.
I understand, but we're looking at fucking tits.
This is terrible. Okay.
All right, I'm closing the chat window. That's enough. No,
we'll stop. That's enough.
Don't stop.
No, you won't. Yeah. You're Ethan. You never stop. Ethan, what's your bag of shit game?
Fuck. I'll come back to
Fine. Me. My bag of shit game is Bart Simpson and the what the fuck was that game?
The Space Mutants.
The Simpsons. Bart Simpson and the Space Mutants. It was the first NES Simpsons game I played, and I was like, oh yeah, Simpsons. And the first level's goal was to make everything purple.
Oh wait,
nice.
Based on that, I now have a bag of shit game. Go.
And it was I thought it was gonna be a platformer where you jumped on shit and shot things, but in reality, all you were doing was hunting for things to make purple, and there were some of the stupidest like. I honestly can't remember, so forgive me if I'm wrong. And that chat window was blinking, and I'm not going to open it. But
no, it's not.
Okay. It was like some of the most retarded like methods of turning something yellow. Like I think to turn a fire hydrant yellow, like there was a can of paint. Like, sorry, to turn it purple, there's a can of paint sitting next to it, and you had to kick it on the fire hydrant.
Yeah.
And then there was a can of paint sitting over an awning, so you had to jump up there and kick the paint on the awning, only the collision detection sucked, so you really couldn't jump up there without like 20 minutes of trying. You had to turn like a dog red, a dog purple too, and I forgot how to do that. I think you had to like, I forget. Look it up. It was dumb. That's it. Moving on. Al, what's your game?
Bart versus the World.
Oh, ew. Oh,
that was a really shitty game. It was very hard too. The first stage.
They were all pretty hard, like for no good reason either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first stage was on a Chinese junk. And you had to...
The Chinese are all drunk. Who said that? Go ahead.
Ooh. And you had to like, navigate through the junk and then, like, fight a boss who was, like, almost impossible to beat. And I never passed the first stage because it was so hard. And it was so fucked up because they killed your family if you didn't pass the game.
Right.
And I was like, what the fuck? But Mr. Burns and Smithers, they kill your family?
Oh, wait, here, I got the walkthrough for Bart vs. Space Mutants. Start off by going right to make a moving... Oh, you have to turn items not purple. Okay. Start off by going right to make a moving leap off the top of a trash can, vaulting into the air to the right, snagging Krusty the Clown icon for a one-up. Okay. Continue on to the right to go past a theater, moving through the Zebloid blockade, jumping onto the window near Moe's Bar. Note, there's no crying in baseball. Leaving out to the left to snag the spray can. Okay, so you get the spray can to spray point things. Followed by a leaping up near the rightmost Zebloid and spraying the purple Space Mutants 4 sign. Great. Okay, so it's not so I think what bothered me the most was how can a purple thing help them conquer the world? I don't get it.
Yeah.
Moving back to the left of the first trash can and spray painting it red. Okay, I'm done with this. I don't want to relive this memory. Who's next?
That's pretty bad.
Tony.
I'll go.
Tony.
Fester's Quest. On NES. It is Blaster Master again.
With Gogo 13.
That's it. Yeah. No.
But was
no
it
Gogo.
A but was it legitimately a bad Blaster Master? Because I remember playing a little bit of it and it was actually kind of fun. But I got stuck, so I quit it.
Terrible Blaster Master. It was the top down version. You know, in Blaster Master you have the
top down
vehicle, and then you have the top down. This was all top down. And this blew fucking chunks.
Did it have
Why?
A cheat where you could throw an explosive grenade at an enemy and press pause and let the explosion just kill the enemy, like in Blastmaster?
I never knew about that.
Yeah, if you shot the grenade and you kept pausing it, it would kill the enemy.
Are you serious?
Because of the explosion, yeah.
Oh, well, if it does, then that makes it even worse.
That's like not the only game that does that, too.
That and Mega Man.
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway, this game was exactly like the Blaster Master. The gun was the same. You know, the shooting was the same. The enemies moved the same.
But it was worse.
And the bosses were the same. You but remember the bosses in Blaster Master where one of the bosses
So how is
had,
it
like,
worse?
How is it worse? When you die, you gotta start all over.
Wasn't that like that in Blaster Master?
No, you gotta start all over. Let me emphasize this. You got to start all over.
So there was no password system?
No. You have no weapons. You have to build up your weapons again. You have to fight the same enemies again. And if you die, you have to start all over.
Hey, do you have to start all over again if you die?
If you die,
yeah,
you have to start all over.
You know wait. I'm not clear on that. Do you start
at the beginning?
At the beginning, all over?
At the beginning of what?
The game. As if you turned it off and turned it back on.
Exactly.
Wait, turn it off. So you have to start at the beginning? I didn't quite get that. I'm not sure.
You have to start all over.
Do you have to go out and buy a new console?
Really?
Yes.
Because every time
you might as well, because this
game
blows.
Game over.
Do you have to rebirth yourself?
Exactly. You know, placenta and all. But you have to start. Say it with me, fellas. All over.
Have to wake up and eat cereal
again?
Wait.
Tony, you're not being clear on this. You have
okay,
to
what do you want?
I'm not sure what you're trying... Are you trying to say that you have to start all over?
You have to start.
You have to, like, get your communication skills down.
Yeah.
I don't over. Get it. Start. Now. All over.
You know
that's
what
you
that
have
game,
to do.
Right?
So, did I beat the game? No.
No, I said,
why?
You know
because...
Who made it?
What?
You know who made it?
Sunsoft.
Yes.
Yeah, same company. I know, but it's like a cookie-cutter version of Blaster Master, and that's what I was getting at. But it's like a cookie-cutter version, but bad.
Yeah.
But terrible, you know?
Called, what do we call those things? Cash-ins.
Festival. Yeah, exactly. Cash-ins. And you had to start all over.
So you have to start from the beginning.
Right from the beginning.
All
where
over?
You started. All over.
And this happens again. When?
This happens every time.
When what? Every
when you
time
die.
What? When you die, so what happens when you die? You have to what?
You have to start.
Ethan, what's the next shit game?
Man, I'm really trying, but
come on, you got
not trying hard enough.
Anything else?
Dude.
I know. I'm gonna just defer.
Do my game with the fucking milk truck.
Milk truck.
Oh, what game was that? But well, I love that game. I just fucking hated the milk truck.
Gran Turismo 2.
No,
we fucking played some fucking racing game fucking for 40 billion hours trying to get this stupid fucking
It was
milk
on N64. It was like off-road racing with some shit.
We went through this.
Yeah, we did go through
I'm
this.
I'm trying to remember what the name was.
It was an N64 game, right?
Yeah.
It
was like off-road some bullshit or another. It was a great game, but Ethan was very disappointed about the milk truck. Poor guy.
That milk truck sucked.
Yeah, because like, it wasn't worth it or something.
I am so
totally
sorry.
It wasn't worth it. Just a lot of work for nothing.
Poor
you think, first of all, if they're going to put in like a milk truck as a racing thing, it should be interesting or something. It was just a big, slow, dumb fucking
It wasn't
milk
slow.
Truck.
It was the fastest car on the game, but it was a milk truck.
It was fucking bullshit. It was sluggish. It was stupid.
It was not sluggish.
It was sluggish.
Stunt Racer 64.
No.
No.
Enter Moo as a name.
No.
What? No.
Top Gear Rally for Nintendo 64.
There you go. That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
Top Gear? That was it?
Yeah, Top Gear Rally. That was it.
Wow. That was fucking bad.
That fucking milk truck.
Even though the game itself was good.
Yeah, the milk was very disappointing. What was funny is I actually fell
Ethan
asleep
loses.
And him and... I'm sorry?
Nothing. Go ahead.
No, I fell asleep, and Ethan and Andrew were playing the game. So tell him, Ethan, what happened?
We already did this.
He's got to
have a bag of shit.
Well, he doesn't. He loses.
I lose.
We're moving on because he's worthless.
At the bottom of the bag of shit, receiving all of the shit.
He is the shit. Yeah, there you go.
He's the
brown globules of
I am the worst game ever.
Yep, that you is.
No one likes to play
that
me.
That you is. Let's move on.
Oh, God.
We are at Dennis Dyack's World of One Console, where only one console rules the future, and Dennis Dyack is always right. What do we think about that?
He's wrong, bitch. He's wrong.
He's wrong, bitch!
Ethan has the article.
So, yeah, I wanted to say this for... Well, here's the thing.
What?
I tried listening to his... to Dennis Dyack's speech or a keynote address or whatever that was when they played it on Game Slaves Radio. And that's what really, really sparked it off. And I tried listening to it, and I fell asleep.
Really? I listened to it at work.
Because he was droning... Well, I was listening to it on the plane. That's probably why. He was droning on and on and on and saying commodification so many times. I'm like, you know what? Just shut up.
Yeah.
But okay, so you listened to it at work, so you probably have a better grasp on it than I do. What were some of the interesting things that he said to support his argument of the one-console future?
Well, the interesting thing that he said was that he believes that games or game consoles are going to pretty much end up like... other commoditized things like cell
DVD
phones
players,
and DVD players and stuff, whether we like it or not. And he was saying that basically, you know, with the way technology is going, it's going to seem natural for one platform to come out that will eliminate all the competition in terms of proprietary units.
Right.
And it's going to result in people just making the same console and... whoever sells the console for cheaper is going to win. Just like DVD players and TVs and all of the shit. Now, here's the other thing. he believes is going to be good and it's going to benefit everybody, although he does say that there are ups and downs with positives and negatives to it. He's like, you know, for gamers, you don't have to worry about having to buy games for a specific console. It's going to come out on the one device. So everybody who wants to come to the store, I want game console. I want games. I don't have to worry about which game console the game works on. It's just one console, one set of games. And then the developers are going to be happy because they only have to put all their effort into one game instead of two or three ports.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then he didn't really go into the negatives, of course.
Right. Because he's fighting a lawsuit, and he has enough negatives on his hands.
Yeah, so, of course, negatives are that innovation is going to drop and competition is going to be nowhere because everybody's trying to make a cheaper console instead of a console that suits a particular niche or particular market.
And it's illegal.
Huh?
It is illegal.
It's illegal.
Yeah.
It's illegal?
Well, it would, be a, it would be a hardware monopoly. You can't.
I think exactly. Yeah, but I think you have to I think we have to clarify that. I don't think that he means that, let's say, for example, Nintendo rises to the top and sells consoles forever.
Yeah, no. Does.
I think what he meant was...
It's like 3DO.
Yeah, it goes back to the 3DO days where there's a set standard that, yes, Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft still sell consoles, but they're all based on the same hardware.
Yeah.
They're all the same thing. And it's just their own version of it, like the 3DO, like how DVD players, everybody sells DVD players, but it's at the core, they do the same things.
Why would you not just do the digital distribution argument then? Why would you even have something?
I don't know.
Right.
Well, that would probably go hand in hand with digital distribution because you have, let's just say 3DO for the time being. I'm going to have my Sony 3DO. And you can have never. And you know, like Austin will have his Panasonic 3DO, which of course that actually
is real, right?
And, it was real. And JVC.
Ethan will have
Gold Star,
a Samsung 3DO.
Gold Star, because it sounds Jewish.
Yeah. All right. Ethan will have a Gold Star, and Tony will have a Samsung.
I have Broke Dick. That's
a Broke Dick 3DO.
Dick.
And
JR Tech.
So now we all have these same console but different brand names. Theoretically, we should all be able to play online against each other with the same game. And as well, there would be probably a central like hub where you can get games, and they will all work because there's no compatibility issue.
That doesn't make any sense at all. There is no such device now that's made the same way by different companies.
Well, at its core, you can buy a DVD and have it work on every single brand's DVD player.
But they all have different features.
Yeah, that's fine, but the point is that they all play DVDs.
Right, which means that you can go to a store and buy a game, and you can bring it. I can bring it to your house, Austin's house, and Tony's house, and you all have different brand names, but the same hardware, the game should theoretically work.
And that's what he's
doesn't make sense. No, but it doesn't make sense when you're out of like a DVD. A DVD has to play the movie the way it plays a movie. A game, we're talking about processing.
Right, and that's exactly what I was going to get at. Why
it will never happen. It makes no sense.
That's exactly what I was going to get at. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, I think we're on the same page here. Like, actually, Ali, you should finish the synopsis.
Basically, the synopsis is that... as he says, commodification is something. It's a track that the game industry is heading toward, whether we know it or like it or not. And it's something that's going to benefit everyone, according to him. And it's something that's going to basically be more good than it is bad, because of the fact that development time is going to be shorter, given. And it's going development process should theoretically be better because all your efforts are working on a single game. It's like exclusive games, except for the fact that it's not exclusive per se because everybody gets it.
Right.
So that's his point of view on it.
That makes absolutely no sense to me. Like, I couldn't disagree more with something like that.
Yeah. That's why we waited on this. Mm-hmm. We need to hear you.
We wanted the ethies. On this one.
Yeah, I just can't. I mean, digital distribution makes more sense to me, but even there, you have it's a service. So you have, you can play other people, but it's at the compatibility issue is worked out by the developers and the hardware on the back end that you don't even need to worry about. So you kind of get the same thing in the end, but you don't get some absurd, impossible market circumstance that he's talking about, where you have everything doing the same thing, but a whole bunch of brands making it. The only other thing I can think about where that is true is like the cable companies, where you have different cable companies providing, by law, exactly the same service. But then they're like allowed regional monopolies on purpose. And even that is going away because they're opening it up to the telecom companies. So that it's not what he's talking about is actually something that you usually start with that then it leaves from. And he's kind of going about it in reverse. You don't start with a bunch of innovation and then go to a standard. You start with a standard, somebody innovates, and then a whole bunch of brands pop up.
Now, well said.
That I totally agree with that. I think the only way and the only kind of, you know, nick in our armor of arguments, because I think we all disagree with him, is the fact that, like, on the technical level that I'd argue and that you were arguing before, like yes, they're different processors. They work in different ways. Well, the 3DO did exist, and it did play the games, and it, you know, it was there. It just failed from a business perspective. Mm-hmm. But it did do exactly what we were saying, in that it had different brand names, and they were built slightly differently, but the hardware was still similar enough so that all the games played the same. And the closest example I can say to that in current day is the PC. But when you get when you talk about PCs, you got freaking incompatibilities, you got games that are trying to push the envelope and you have to upgrade them. And that's why I don't think that consoles will really follow that, because consoles are all about the single experience where you don't have to worry about like people trying to push the envelope.
True. And then forcing everybody to upgrade.
And forcing everybody to upgrade.
Well,
so,
actually,
like,
no. They do. They do offer that availability on their hardware always. They offer something that you should upgrade to if they want to push the envelope, and they never use it.
Besides a hard drive, what examples do you have?
Well, I'm talking about like Sega and Sega CD. I'm talking about like they made something that they knew was not, you know, going to go really to the limits on that system, but they put the Sega CD, and it so happens that the Sega had a port for it, so there you go. Now we could push the envelope on this hardware, but you have to buy the upgrade.
Yeah, but that's very different than what we're talking about on a PC level. On a PC level, if you can put, let's see, you can put Far Cry on your old PC,
and it'll run like shit.
And
yeah,
it'll run like shit,
totally,
but it would
understand.
Run. You can't put Sewer Shark on your Genesis.
Why do you always go back to
you the can too, Austin. It'll just look totally
different. No, you can't, because you can't fit the CD into the cartridge slot.
Exactly.
I will fit it in. I will fit
it
in.
But you fit in perverse things into perverse holes. I don't want to hear about your shit.
Exactly. I have another comment. Ethan, maybe you could clarify this. It's going to be a monopoly either way, no matter what company is taking it, because this is an intellectual... If it's one system, it's an intellectual property of someone, right?
Not really. Because, like, for DVD, there are several companies that hold a patent, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they have, like, a union or a standards committee, which is, like, Toshiba and Sony and...
Toshiba, Sony!
Panasonic or
Panasonic,
something like that.
Matsushita.
And, you know, they all come together and agree on what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, but does that entity also fall into a monopoly if the DVD was the standard and that was it? I mean, that's what I'm asking.
Wait, what are you
are you asking, is the DVD standard in and of itself a monopoly? Is that what you're asking?
No, I'm saying if it shelled out everybody else in the industry, would it be a monopoly?
Well, it kind of did.
The DVD standard?
Yeah.
Yeah, it did. But it's not, because it's made up of a consortium of different companies, right?
Yeah, so...
Yeah, what typically winds up happening, you can look at this with Blu-ray and... where you have some companies backing one technology over the other.
Right.
And the same thing with VHS and Beta. Just
Beta
winds up winning out over another. So even if somebody holds a patent on it, there's an intellectual property patent maybe on the standard, and they get paid licensing fees every time a brand decides to make a device for that standard.
Okay.
And the same thing happens for PC stuff and for console stuff now, where somebody says, okay, I have a patent on this microchip, and you're going to buy my microchip, and you're going to put it in your console.
Right.
The issue is, if you think that somebody that like all these manufacturers that are currently making games, they have no, in there's nothing, they don't benefit by going to a standard. they benefit by increasing the level of competition by keeping all that stuff private. And they're buying parts from the same manufacturers.
Right.
Like, Sony is buying chips from the same guys that Nintendo's buying right. from. It's the same guys that Microsoft's buying from. So they're already buying, like, common mm-hmm. parts. It's not in their interest to open the to keep it open source or whatever, to open the standard okay. to one standard for video games, because they just then make it harder to compete.
Yeah, I shouldn't say the only, because this is a huge part, but the people who really would really benefit from this is the developers.
Yep.
And the publishers, because
simplicity.
Yeah, I mean, and also they're guaranteed that they haven't, like, right now the market's splintered. We got people who only want Wii. We got people who only want Xbox 360. We got people who only want PlayStation 3. So this guy who's making his game is like, well, shit. I got to spend three times the budget, or maybe not three times exactly, maybe like one and a half. But I got to spend more budget putting this on different systems, because if I only put it on one system, my game's not going to sell that much. You know, mm. Or maybe it will, maybe it won't. I don't know. But hey, look, we're developing for only one system because everyone has this one standard. Hey.
Everybody's going to buy it.
Yeah, everyone's going to buy it.
My market
everyone,
is going to own what I
or
have.
Everyone can buy it.
Right? Yeah, everyone who can.
Yeah, and that's really who's going to benefit from this. But and actually, we would benefit from it too. But like then I'm always worried. I'm always paranoid that I think like Ethan said already, and that you guys already said, like the innovation will slow down,
mm-hmm.
level competition will slow down, and
mm-hmm. this is
go ahead.
Sorry. Go ahead. I got to interrupt, because it's like this is the ebb and flow that he's talking about, of like how things get standardized and unstandardized, I guess. And even if, let's say you assume that he's right. Let's say you assume that everything goes to one standard and everybody buys different consoles by different makers and it's all one standard. Guaranteed, one dude is going to have something really
yeah.
innovative. He's going to go patent it and he's going to go
release
it.
That's, yeah. that's Nintendo right there.
Consoles.
Sony right. and Microsoft so like, are going after the same fruit, and Nintendo said, fuck, well, we can't compete anymore. You know what? Here we go. We're going to do this.
Well, that's also David Crane. I mean, same thing. You know, he innovated
right.
the...
Right, so to assume that's going to happen as yeah. the... Like, that's the future and it will stop there? Bullshit.
Right.
Is it possible that there is a consolidation of companies?
Sure.
Or some go out of business or one gets better than the other? Sure. But then, again,
someone
you're
is
gonna
going
have
to
have some other company
yeah,
coming out
I
with something
totally
innovative
agree.
And it's going to blow
totally
it away.
Yep. I mean...
And it could possibly end up being like a different version of what happened with Atari. Because Atari, you know, that the game industry crashed because of the fact that there was saturation of mm-hmm. shit.
Yeah.
But now...
Well said. Yeah.
Now imagine if we're living in this gaming utopia of one console made by different manufacturers. Exactly. And somebody comes out with this one innovative thing. That can really cripple the existing video game industry, because everyone will go flock after this innovative device. And not, mm-hmm.
yep.
you know, it would be basically how Nintendo came into the game after the crash that Atari created.
Mm-hmm.
And then, except it would be causing a crash, because, say, this one console thing would be flourishing.
Right, right.
And I think that would really suck. It'd be like, oh, you know, we spent all this time, and we created this standard, and everyone's doing well, but no one wants it anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Killer, death of an industry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the other thing is that when you talk about stuff that's being commoditized, when you take a look at, and I'm going to go back to something technical for a second, you talk about DVD players and VHS players and Discmans and cell phones and Walkmans. It's like, I don't know, the cell phone thing is a little different. I don't know how to talk about that for a second. Let me leave it at DVD players.
Mm-hmm.
They play movies. That's it.
Yep.
They play something that's pre-rendered. I shouldn't even say pre-rendered. They play something that's already predetermined. It doesn't require a significant amount of technological processing power or innovation to run something that is just already a predetermined piece of media.
True.
It's like,
well, I think that's the what you just said is the key, is the
right,
predetermined
exactly,
piece of media. That is
right.
That movies are moving pictures.
Right.
That's what they are.
They're moving pictures. They're predetermined.
Showing them, right.
Let me finish, though. And
yep.
when you get that, when Blu-ray players are expensive now, yeah, that's because like they have to output in high resolution. But it at some point they're going to become easier to manufacture, because at the same time they're just things that play moving pictures. That's all they do. So when they get cheaper to manufacture, they get down to the. You can buy an upscaling DVD player for $70 now. Blu-ray players and DVD players. AC-DVD players could reach that point. Like, they're already... AC-DVD is already saying that they're going to come out with, like, a $199 player, which is pretty freaking sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So, you get to that point. But now you've got different types of, you know, innovations for your video game consoles. You've got the Wii, which is like, yeah, it's underpowered, but, you know, it's all about this controller, and they're trying to market it as a different item. It's same thing as Microsoft is trying to market their thing as a different kind of console hub for digital downloads of TV shows, games, and regular game playing, and DVD, and the DVD player, and an add-on for an HD DVD drive. And, like, there are different price points for these things for people who want to do different things. For a DVD, all you do is watch it. That's all. So it's not like you have this type of flexibility where you know, you will have a splintered market where some people want to wave and waggle their Wiimote and, like, stare at tits on the screen for 10 minutes and do aerobics or stand on a balance board. Or you have someone who's playing a 360 who just wants to play hardcore games and watch episodes of a Family Guy being downloaded to their 360.
And Dallas.
And Dallas. You know what I mean? So it's just like a PC. When I say, I just want a business PC, so you build together a PC that's like $300. Or no, I want to play Crysis, and you build the PC that costs like $5,000. There's a different price point there that you just can't simplify and say, oh, it's all just going to become one thing, and every unit will become $500, and everyone will buy $500. No, they won't.
Nope.
Well, it's a good point. I mean, look at the PC market. You still have Mac.
Right.
You still have Sun. You still have all these makers of PCs. Well, so even that's not
standardized. Does Sun really succeed on a consumer level? That's my question.
Units. Well, no. Not on a consumer.
I mean, not maybe not on a consumer
but
level.
But I see your point that there's Mac, there's Mac, there's Windows, there is...
Right, but it hasn't conformed
Unix,
to a standard.
There's Linux. People use Linux, even on a consumer level.
And there's Mac and PC.
Right.
That uses the same and totally different hardware.
Mm, right.
Those are completely different standards, and Linux. Those are all on a consumer level. On the business level, it gets even broader.
Right. Oh, that's huge. Like, yeah, I don't even want to think
about
that.
So, if it hasn't happened for a PC where it really does matter from a business sense that you conform to a standard, then why is it going to happen to a game?
Exactly, I agree. I totally agree. Because
I got to go.
Oh, you whore.
I know. I'm an asshole.
Dick.
Ethan, we love you.
You can't even stick around for the mailbag question?
How long?
Let me read it off, quick. And you can decide.
Question. It's one question.
James, a.k.a. Jameson V, a.k.a. Threepwood Lives, a.k.a. Plant Test, it says, what games, if any, that were... Well, I don't think I paid attention to CGS, so we'll skip that one. But I know you guys will probably receive a ton of questions or comments about this, but what the hell is up with that Rock Band pricing? There's catering to a niche, and there's catering to, like, a super, super niche. How many people are going to pay $200 for the game and just the guitar, $200 for a game, regardless of how entertaining it may be? And this is on the heels of Shenlong Sing Song Dong Dong Bo's, a.k.a. Adrian, who is our guest on episode 45, or 46, I think. He was told, I think, by one of our other contributors, I can't remember if so or where he found it, that there's a possibility that $200 would be for the game and the guitar, and that's it.
No.
What? Get the fuck out of here. Nah, way.
If that's true, I mean, I can see a game costing $200, but that game has to do way more than this.
It has to be Steel Battalion.
No. No, I can't see any game costing that much.
No, I can. I can see a game that's like an open kind of San Andreas mix, and we've talked about this, mixed with a really like Gran Turismo. You take a bunch of different games, you mix them together, and then you can Not if it was the quality of each of those genres built into actually one game. You might pay more for it. That's what I suspect.
I wouldn't pay $200.
Exactly. Unless it was like tits that I could stare at for 10 minutes, then I'm
what if
not
it was 100 hours of gameplay each part of it was the same level of goodness?
I still wouldn't. I still would
because I could get 100 hours of gameplay out of a different kind of game. I know it's not different types, but a game is a game. We're paying $200 for the hardware.
No, I know, but let's say this game was something that wound up satisfying you in the same way that four games would.
I don't buy that
possibility.
They wasted their money on all that development.
I'm not saying that this game is the one, but I personally think that if the game was good enough and it was long enough and it was broad enough, it would be like buying four games.
Well, here's my thing, though.
If it injects heroin in my dick, then maybe.
I can build
that
game.
Here's my thing with that, and I think I said this before. I don't think you were here. I forget what we were talking about. But, like, no matter what the parts or what the different segments or whatever splintered different segments go into a game, I always judge a game by it as a whole and just my experience as a whole. And if I can get 100 hours of great experience out of a game like Oblivion, which, no, it doesn't have four different things or four mm-hmm. different types of gameplay, but mm-hmm. I'm still getting 100 hours and I'm still enjoying every bit of it. It doesn't matter what mm-hmm. I'm doing. So mm-hmm. I don't yep. I won't.
What would you have paid for that game?
Honestly, still $50.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm.
So if it was $60, you wouldn't buy it?
I don't buy $60 games unless there's like some extra little toy that comes with it. Like Gears of War that came with like a special edition DVD that like had like uh-huh. behind the scenes shit. I'm a sucker for that. So yeah, I bought that, but I wouldn't have paid mm-hmm. more than $60 for that special edition or $50 for the regular one. Like my
So what was your favorite game of all time?
Favorite game of all time?
Yeah.
Either Metroid Prime or
Really?
Final Fantasy VI.
Final Fantasy VI, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and if that game was like another $10 over whatever you paid for it,
well, Final Fantasy
there's no
VI
world in which and you couldn't
be,
get
yeah.
it for free and you couldn't get it.
If I had to get my favorite game of all time, yes, I would. Of course I would overpay for it. Of course. But, like, sitting there and saying that, like, well, this game is going to be $200, I don't think so. And just getting the game off the shelf, like, it's very hard today because hindsight is 2020. Who knew that Metroid Prime would have been my favorite game of all time, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, that's the whole thing. I mean, you don't even know how this game is going to play or even if you're going to like it. You're going to pay $200 up right. front.
I'll say this much, Ethan. If you told me, if you said, here's a game that I'm going to let you play for free, based on your experience, how much would you pay for it? Maybe I would pay $200 for a game that was fantastic. Or if you're talking mm-hmm. about a really rare game that I really do like Radiant right. Silvergun.
I was going to get ready to drop that name.
Or Panzer Dragoon Saga. Or what was the other one? Or
Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
Or Dracula X. If it was like a collector's item, yes, I would pay $200 for it because it's a collector's item. Sure. But not on the merits of the game alone. You know what I mean?
Well, but I kind of a little bit. I think you might have conflicted with yourself
How?
There.
How?
Like if How? let's say okay. Let's say I gave you a game to play for free and you tried it out and it's like a free demo period. You do get a kind of a taste of how good the game is and then you find that the price of the game is higher than the typical game. Let's not say $200. Let's say like $80.
Come on, Trigger.
Would you shell out the cash at that point to buy the game if you felt, after playing it, that there really was that much value in the game?
Nope.
I kind of think that defies logic. Because you've just
said... No. I'm saying only, if I played a game all the way through and you asked me to assess its value and how much I would have paid for it if I had known that this entire experience would be that good, I might give a value. But what I'm saying is that I'm not for anything until I like. That's why I'm saying it's all hindsight for me. It's all hindsight.
So you're saying you can't evaluate value within, 10%
nope.
of the game.
Mm-mm.
Okay, I totally. I mean, that's fine, but I totally disagree with that. Like, I can play a game 10% of a game and go, I know I'm going to like this game, and I know what it's worth to me. And some games over the past, looking at it, and even while I'm playing it, would be worth way more than the sticker price, and some are worth way less, and in fact, I would demand they pay me to play the little bit of the
thing. Let me give you a real-life example of exactly this. Final Fantasy VIII. For the first 6 hours of that game, I actually really liked it. After that first 6 hours, and after I started to get through more of it and more of it, I started to hate it more than anything I've ever hated before.
Wow.
That's fine, but what you're doing is you're placing, I think, a different standard on games than anything else that you do. So if you're buying something else, like you try some other service, I don't know, where they give you a free trial and then you go ahead and pay whatever it is that they charge for it, I don't think you necessarily think, okay, I'm putting a limit on what I will ever pay for this,
no matter how cool
I think it is, or no matter. And obviously you make some mistakes and some don't, and some you wind up making more value out of what you thought.
But games
you were.
Are different than a service.
But the point
like
is
that.
To insist that you're only going to pay $60, no matter, or $50, whatever it is, no matter what, I think is kind of ridiculous, and you might wind up missing out on a game should it come out that does really pack that much value into a game and is worth that amount of money and did cost the developers that amount of money.
I don't think so, and I think games are different than services. Games are standalone pieces of work, that can change.
But they're not different than other products.
Okay, so what does that have to do with anything?
My point is that you're not that specific about how much you'll pay necessarily for another product, where you don't go into it saying like, I'm only going to pay $100 for a television.
Okay.
If you go in and you see a TV that costs, I mean, obviously you have a budget in something like that where you're like, okay, I have to spend under this amount. But if you go in and you evaluate TVs, one is going to be better than the other, and you're going to pay more for one than the other. With video games, you're kind of saying, no more than $50 or $60. Even though that's not really your budget.
Well, you know what though, but that maybe that's a byproduct of the industry imposing this type of standard. But you know what? I've adopted to it, and like I've been playing a lot of great games that cost less than $50 that I would have paid $50 for, and it's like. Okay, sure. Fair enough. Maybe I am judging by a different standard. Well, fine. That's how I feel about them.
Well, let's get to the heart of this. If it is just included the game and a guitar, is it $200?
I'll be playing Guitar Hero 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, come on. I mean, really. But this is exactly what it is, there is no fucking... This is ludicrous.
Go ahead, Al.
Yeah, I would have to just say that according to... Just like the stuff from Kotaku with the retail boxes, the retail boxes are either the game or the game, the guitar, the mic, and the drums. So I really do believe that the bundle that is $200 is going to be the mic, the drums, the guitar,
right,
and
I
the
mean,
game.
That's what you expect. I mean, you're getting a lot of Ethan. You're getting an apparatus there.
Oh my god, it's a lot of apparatus for that $200.
Yeah. And what I'm thinking is, I don't know if they're going to have any other sets. I don't know if it's going to be like the game and the guitar, or the game and the drums, or the game and the mic, or a combo of the two. But I think that they're only really selling the game alone and the game with all the equipment.
Right.
Shit. Well, I feel that.
I really got to go, guys. I'm sorry.
Before you go, quickly, I think it would be fair to clarify saying this. I have a price ceiling for everything. That I buy, right? Mm-hmm. I have price ceiling.
Yep.
It's different for everything. And I guess my point is that my price ceiling for the medium of a video game is $50. And my price ceiling for films, for a DVD, is $20. Uh-huh. Bucks. My price ceiling for a television is probably going to be like $1,500. Because
I think that what you wind up doing, depending on the product, because what you said about the game and the DVD versus the TV are two different things. The TV has a budget, and the other ones are a tight price ceiling. I think what you want to do, and we can talk about this another time, is like define those a little bit better. Because what you wind up seeing is you'll buy a TV for $1,500 or $50, depending on how good it is, and that's just a huge margin. Whereas what you're giving for a DVD and a video game is way smaller. And I just think
it's very hard to say how much you will like a game. You
it's
know what I mean?
To the
you
content.
Can't.
It,
yeah.
Because a television is a piece of equipment that will last you much longer than a game or a DVD.
And you know what it's going to do.
You don't know that necessarily. That's my point. You could have a game that lasts you way longer than a television, or you get more enjoyment out of it. And it's not necessarily just on time. It's this overall like abstract value like understanding. And it's that I'm talking about.
Yeah, but that's really worth, because a TV, you know what a TV is going to do. But you know what a TV's going to do.
No, you don't know what a TV's going to do. That's my point.
Okay.
Like, you don't...
I mean, in the same
sense that you don't know what a game is going to do. It's like, you can look at a TV for 5 minutes and be like, I'm going to enjoy this TV on a score of 1 to 10 on a 7. And you can look at 10 minutes of a video game, I'm going to enjoy this game on a... And you can be wrong or right on both.
Whatever you say.
I don't understand how a TV's quality is going to change unless it breaks, which is a completely different story.
That's not true. It's not about whether it breaks. I think that you wind up thinking one thing at one point with a product that doesn't change, and then another time you might think, you know what, I got bored of this faster than I thought
I would.
Well,
that's personal.
Or it wasn't worth the money I paid.
That may be a personal thing. I don't find myself getting bored of a television. I'm not understanding what you're trying to get at here.
Okay, a TV may be not as good an example as another product where the experience isn't so monotonous through the whole thing. But I would suspect that if you think about other products that you've bought, that you don't have such strict price rules, and that you do evaluate them a little more openly on a value, especially when there's a product that really didn't exist before. You can't put a price ceiling on it because there is no benchmark, and that's what you're using for DVDs. And that's what you're using for
CDs.
Games. When there's a product
music.
With...
Music. You hear a couple of tracks and...
No. A new product.
A new type of product.
Something that doesn't exist. Yeah. You have to evaluate whatever they're pricing it at for the first time. You can't judge it based on like, well, I've only paid $50 for every video game since. I'm only going to pay $50 for this video game.
Why can't I do that?
I can't get into it now because I'm out of time. But
he's been out
I'd
of time like
about this
for
again.
20 minutes. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm super late and I'm getting a lot of shit right now. Sorry.
All right.
All right, so go back to specifically Rock Band while Ethan takes his dump and gets out of here.
Later, guys. I'm going to go take a shit.
Yeah.
You're the best. 1 o'clock. Later.
You make no sense.
Yeah, I do.
You don't. Just
later,
go.
Man.
Yeah, I do.
So are people going to pay $200 for this and just a guitar?
No.
No.
Some people maybe.
If they do, they are, I mean, like, that's irresponsible.
For all the hardware, yeah, I would. Because yeah. I know that I'm getting stuff with it. You know what I mean?
You don't have to buy anything else except maybe another guitar.
Wait,
and Steel Battalion, that was a freaking high-end piece of hardware.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. This is supposed to be a party game. And, you know, you can't have a party with just one fucking guitar at $200. One apparatus.
Yeah, $80 maybe.
Yeah,
$200.
Well, it's Guitar Hero. It's
$150 guitar.
Yeah, it's Guitar Hero. I mean, they're not putting a real guitar in there, are they?
Nope.
No. Okay, what the fuck?
For $200, if it's going to be a guitar in a video game, I'll go buy a real guitar and an instructional video.
Exactly. Right. Let's ascertain this before we speak out on this, because that just sounds
This is a rumor.
Very...
It's a
rumor. Okay. Yeah.
When Shenlong Bo told me that, he said it was a rumor. So, here's the thing is like if that guitar is actually a really high quality piece of kit that's made from like good materials. Excuse me. And like, you know what I mean? Like if it's not just the same plastic guitar that we've been using for Guitar Hero and you know it's just plastic and it's good, but it's looks like a toy.
Right.
If that's really made out of good material.
Right.
And it's really finely crafted and it's really like gorgeous and it has heft to it and it's you know, if it's a good quality product.
Right.
I can understand why they would price it. No, let me finish. I can understand why they would price it at $200. If the guitar itself was worth that much money, I can understand why they price it that way. As long as they offer a cheaper piece of shit guitar if you don't want to pay that much for it.
Right, true. Right.
Otherwise, because you can use the Guitar Hero 2 guitar on it, maybe that's why they're doing it like that. Maybe that's why they're saying, you can use a guitar. It's cheaper. You can use it. Just buy the game for $60. There you go. So, yeah.
Well, I think for $200, it better stare at my tits for 10 minutes,
and then break out of heart failure.
Yeah, it'll give you a red ring of death if it's a 360.
It better get its own
red ring of herpes.
That's what. Oh my god, that's egregious. There's no way. There's no fucking way. There's no. If that is true, it's inexcusable. No way.
All right. Okay, James, we'll try to get to your first question like as really quickly, but I haven't seen any TGS overseas exclusives. I haven't been paying that close attention to it to want to see any exclusives that I want.
Yeah.
Are there any exclusives that you guys saw that you actually actively want?
It wasn't anything interesting to me.
Maybe like the. I mean, all I know is that there's a guy touching game and like a girl touching game, and I don't want either of those. I do not want either of those.
Oh my god! Then you're not Japanese. That's it.
I know, because I'm not.
Yep.
I'm Mexican.
Uh-oh.
That's right.
Mexicano.
Mexicano, man.
Jumping over the border like Mario.
PS triple. PS triple.
All right,
let's finish. Let's wrap this up. Let's do housekeeping.
Yep.
Remember to, Game Slaves Radio is still on hiatus.
I thought he said he was back.
Yeah, but he has got to get his internet.
Oh, he hasn't had his internet yet.
He doesn't have his internet yet. But listen to Game Slaves Radio, gameslaves.net. Marshyman50 has not posted a new On Point podcast. This is your last warning, buddy. Post one. GameSpot.com/user/Marshyman50. On the site, there is a new video review for Project Silfeed. Did I already announce that last? No, I didn't. New video review for Project Silfeed. It was for something else. It's actually up now. It wasn't up last time when I announced it, but now it's up.
Right, exactly.
And there's a review for Final Fantasy XII by our contributor, Amlabella. He gave it a... Let's click... I'm not going to tell you what he gave it. You got to read it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Any closing remarks, Mr. I Gotta Go to Work?
I gotta go to work.
Mr. Closing Remarks, Tony Boy?
Stare at tits for 10 minutes. All I got
to
say.
Who wants to make up closing remarks to Ethan?
I don't know what I'm talking about.
I've got a small dick. I'm Ethan.
I'll pay $500 for Rock Band. No. All right, for Tony, Ethan, Al, and myself, I have been your host, Jugs. Mr. Chupon / Austin, and we're out.
Hey,
yeah, before that, he takes on two forms, you know, and fucking kicks your ass, and then he does like this ultimate magic, which was like common or some shit, and it's like, yeah, you're nearly dead, and Austin, shut the fuck up! Shut up!
Spoiler alert!
Jugs.